This is an interview, Mrs. Carolyn Cohn, for the Youngstown State University Oral History Project on the Rand School. It's being done by Mark Conley at Mrs. Cohen's residence at 2321 Selma Avenue, Youngstown, Ohio. Date is December 5th, 1970, and it's approximately 10:15 a.m. Ms. Cohen, would you please talk a little about your background?
Well, I'm a native Youngstowner. I've always lived on the north side. Went to Harding, Hayes, and Rand. Graduated from Rand and went to college in the east. And after graduation from college, I worked in New York for a short period and then married a Youngstown, returned to Ohio.
What about your parents? Are they native?
No, my father moved here. He was born in Pittsburgh. And he moved here before he went to college. Then he returned, he went to Penn State. My mother was born in Liverpool, England, and came to this country when she was 4 years old, and grew up in Harrisburg, and met my father at college.
Okay, so both your parents have a college background?
No, mother didn't go to college, but she met him at a fraternity affair at college.
Where is your father's roots or his family roots?
His parents were born in Russia. And I'm not sure. I have my grandfather's naturalization papers. I don't know exactly when they came over. But Dad was the second oldest of five boys, and they were all born in the States.
Okay.
Several of them went to Rand, as a matter of fact, after the family moved to Youngstown.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one sister.
Did she go to Rand?
Yes, she graduated from Rand 4 years before I did.
Where did you live in Youngstown?
We lived on the corner of Ohio and Denick, just really a half block from Rand.
So you walked every day to school?
Walked every day to school. That was.
What was the biggest change you noticed in going from Hayes to Rand?
Well, the school was big. The halls were large. The excitement of being with students who were older, you didn't have that experience at Hayes. I mean, Hayes was an adjustment, a terrific adjustment from Harding. But there was more excitement going to Rand because you really felt grown up. I mean, this was the goal, this was to get to Rand.
Okay, so you've heard a lot about Rand before.
Yes.
Okay. About how many students were in your freshman class? Do you recall? A large class?
As far as the freshman class, I don't know, because see, many of the ninth graders stayed over at Hayes. In our graduating class, we had about 250, so. See, there were many students who stayed at Hayes because they just stayed in school until they were 16, and they did have ninth grade at Hayes. And if you lived on one side of the park, Crandall Park, you went to Rand for ninth grade. And if you lived on the other, you stayed, I think, I'm not sure the division, but it was something like that, where you stayed at Hayes for ninth grade. There were a lot of kids who just stayed at Hayes until they were able to drop out of school. Never went to Rand.
So usually the ninth graders at Hayes were the people that were not planning on furthering their education.
Or
did it usually turn out that way?
I would say there was a large percentage of them. But
there were
quite a few who stayed there because of the division of the where you went for ninth grade.
Up to what grade did Harding go?
Yeah, first through kindergarten through sixth.
Okay. What are the phrases here? Well, first of all, what years were you at the Rand School?
I went in January of 1945.
start?
I was a mid-year student. And then I graduated in 3.5 years. I graduated in 48. I graduated in June of 48. I made up the half year.
Did many students do that at that time?
Yes, there were quite a few of us, especially those of us who wanted to go to college, because you could only enter college, really, in September. So of the students that I started with at Harding, I would say about half of us went accelerated. And I carried five majors in order to do that and went to summer school at South one summer.
Was this your own decision?
Oh, I would say it was a pretty accepted pattern, you know, in those days, that you would try to do this if possible.
Okay.
I think during the war, many graduated in August from RAND. They were able to go to summer school and graduate in August instead of waiting till the next January. The mid-year situation was a problem.
Could anybody do this that wanted to, or were there certain qualifications?
That I can't truthfully answer. I know there wasn't any problem of my meeting requirements for graduation, and I imagine you did have to have certain approval for this program, because I know I had to carry five majors most of the way through RAND. So
how did you generally do in school?
Great. Well, I was able to graduate on the honor roll, which was a big deal. The upper 10% of your class. And I was, yes, I never had any problem.
Now, what about the student body at RAND when you were there? Was it a, what you would call, a cohesive student body?
Very much so. There were different divisions. There was a division as to what sorority or what fraternity you belonged to, or whether you were from Briar Hill, or, but there was a certain feeling, I think everyone kind of, this is a trite expression, knew their place, but cooperated with each other.
At this a little bit. What sorority did you belong to?
I belong to a Jewish sorority, Phi Gamma.
Okay. And you said that everybody knew their place. What was everybody's place, if you can remember?
Well, socially, yes. There was. You either to get into a sorority fraternity was a big deal. And there was a blackballing system, which was very prevalent at that time. And if you were from a certain background, you got into a certain Jewish or a Gentile sorority or fraternity. They didn't cross social lines too much, but yet, I imagine it was very harmful to certain people. I know specifically that there were many individuals who were hurt by this. But of course, I was very secure in it because I was accepted. And when I talk about the cooperation between the different groups, when there were social affairs of the different sororities or fraternities, we supported each other.
So you would go to other sororities' functions?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. Each supported each other's affairs. That was our big social life.
This is both cross between Gentile and Jewish sororities.
Absolutely. There wasn't any interdating, but there was a lot of support for each other's groups.
Could you theorize what would happen to a Jewish girl who went out with a Gentile boy when you were going to school, especially if she was in a sorority?
Well, I personally found that rather restrictive. I don't know of many cases. I imagine the boys had more experience with it than the girls. I think that we kept pretty much to our own. I think there was some interdating, but very limited. And I didn't necessarily approve of that and didn't continue with that in college at all. But that was the situation at home.
You mean family?
No, my family really didn't care. It was the peer pressure, I guess. I guess there were other families that cared, but mine didn't in particular.
What did your family think of? Was there hazing and that sort of activity?
Oh, terrible. And we had, I don't know how many weeks of pledging, and were made to do just ridiculous things. Just so embarrassing. And then, of course, we would have Hell Week, and we'd have to dress and face the problem of being expelled from school because it was against the state laws in Ohio that you could bring any sorority or fraternity hazing into public schools.
How did the faculty and administration look upon this sort of activity?
I never had a run-in with any of them, but I guess there were some who did. I think there were occasionally situations where students would be called into the office and they would be told that they can't come to school dressed like that. You know, we would have these, our hair in little pigtails, and we'd have to carry boxes of candy, and if any superior wanted candy, you know, they would, and gum, and I don't know, wear different colored socks, and you know, we really looked silly.
Was anybody ever expelled for this, to your knowledge?
I don't recall that anyone was.
What percentage of students out of the whole student body would you say belong to one sorority or fraternity or another? Most of the students in the Rand School?
No, I would say half.
What was the, you said two Jewish sororities.
Yes.
What was the point of division? Why did some go on one and some girls go on the other?
Well, the sorority I belonged to was pretty much exclusively Rand students. The other sorority did take students from South, and they were affiliated more with the Jewish Community Center, and ours was not, you know, we met in each other's homes, and eventually that sorority was taken over by the center and then disbanded.
Were there any other extracurricular activities you were involved in while going to high school?
In the school, yes. Of course, I was in a cappella and girls' octet, and that was the most cherished memory I have of extracurricular activities at Rand because of Mr. Nishwitz. He was the leader of the choir. And quite an interesting, respected individual in the Rand community. The a cappella was well known throughout the area. We would have singing engagements, and of course when I got into octet my senior year, then we would go to various groups and sing before them.
Was it basically just in this area that you performed, or did you ever go to other cities?
I think a cappella did participate in other, maybe they went to other competitions, other cities, but I don't recall too much of that. I remember that we used to sing at the Easter service at the church, the sunrise service, and of course for school functions, and I think one year they did some work with the symphony. I don't remember participating in that. But the concerts that we gave in the spring and in the winter, that was that received the most support of any function, I think, that ever was conducted at Rand.
What do you recall most about the faculty at Rand? You can go into individuals, any way you want to approach it, but what sticks out in your mind?
I remember individuals like Miss Seeger, Latin teacher, and of course I took 3 years of Latin, and I took one of my achievement tests for college in Latin, and she spent some extra time with me preparing me. And of course, you know, she was a wonderful teacher, but she frightened everyone.
She frightened you?
Yes, I would say she did. I mean, I was a little discouraged when she said to me after 3 years of Latin, and I was going to take an achievement test in Latin, she said, "Carolyn, that's how you're going to pass it." You know, and she would, I think by fear, try to get the best performance out of us. When we had an assignment for translation, she would go up and down the aisle. You were to stand at the side of your desk, and you had so many seconds to start your translation. If you didn't start it immediately, she'd say, "Sit down and mark a zero in her book."
Do you consider Latin one of your favorite subjects when you were in school?
I went to school when Latin was considered a must. That this was the basis for good vocabulary, this was the basis for all the Romance languages, and if you wanted to continue in higher education, that I didn't object to taking the Latin.
What was your favorite subject?
I don't think I had really any favorite subject.
Well, who was your favorite teacher?
I remember certain teachers. I was never one to actually feel that there was one teacher that I could go to and really discuss the problems that I might have. I think we went to Mr. Tier if there was a problem.
The principal?
Yes, we went to the principal.
What was your relationship with him? How did you view Mr. Tier?
With respect, I felt that he was really interested in maintaining the fine academic standing that Rand had. We had good education and a good spirit for Rand, and I think that he was probably responsible for this because he was responsible for creating this atmosphere under which we all studied and participated.
You talk about the good spirit at Rand. Did you ever have sort of the feeling of superiority because you were going to the Rand school as opposed to the other schools?
Well, one thing that we all felt, and I don't know where we ever got this concept, but we felt that we were getting a good education, that we were going to one of the finest high schools in the state of Ohio, and that because of the record of alumni who had gone east to school and had no trouble getting into the Eastern schools, the Ivy League schools, that we were getting an excellent education.
Now, when you went on to college, did this prove to be true?
No.
It did.
No.
Why not?
It was a rude awakening.
In what way?
Well, I never had told in English. And of course, this was kind of traditional, I think, or expected that college freshmen would have a rude awakening when they came to freshman English. I remember my first few papers, grammatical mistakes, sloppy habits that I had that, you know, were never corrected in high school. And taking my first college exam, I had never seen a blue book, never been required to write a theme.
So most of your tests in high school were objective type?
Yes, definitely.
Did you ever have Miss Keck for English?
No.
Miss Boyne?
Yes, I had Miss Boyne.
What's your opinion of Miss Boyne?
Well, I thought she was just charming and a very good teacher, but as I say, I had her for senior English, and then when I went away to college and I couldn't have developed all these habits just over the summer. All these sloppy things that I was doing and theme writing. I didn't have the experience at Rand in theme writing. But I certainly knew there were a lot of things that I knew about grammar that the children today don't know. Tipsy, you're gonna be on the tape. Come on. Come on. You go up. Oh. All you have to do is be nice to her. Some of the teachers. Well,
yeah.
My junior year, a very interesting experience, of course. That was when a lot of the fellows came back from the service. And, of course, they were all in my junior English class.
How did you feel about this?
It's kind of exciting. Seeing some of these older fellows in school.
How did the teachers generally react to these people?
I think they were very tolerant of them. I think the boys, it was very hard for them to come back and try to complete their education. I know, I can think of several, one of whom is a very prominent doctor in town. I don't remember him as being a particularly outstanding student, but I think that the teachers at Rand realized that it was difficult for these boys to get back into their studies, and it took quite a lot of perseverance for them to those who had not even completed their high school education to come back, and many of them then went on and became professional people. So I think that generally the reaction was that they weren't too hard on them.
Now, when you were leaving Ray, did you have regrets?
Oh, it was very sad. I think the whole Rand experience had been a happy one, very secure one. I mean, this was a pattern that I had grown up into, and here I was going off to college in the East and not knowing what was going to happen, and leaving all my friends. None of them were going, most of them were, those who were going on to college in Ohio State.
What college in the East did you go to?
Connecticut College for Women, which is now co-ed.
Okay. What one thing stands out in your mind the most about the Rand School? If you could pick out one thing.
I would say that it was such a happy time. And of course, a cappella meant a great deal to me.
What one thing would you have changed about the school if you could?
What one thing would I have changed?
When you were going here, what thing perturbed you the most?
I'm sorry, I can't truthfully say that anything did. I found the whole experience very... Oh, we didn't question things in those days. We just accepted them. I mean, there are things today that I stayed very involved in the schools because my children went through Harding, Hayes, and Rand. And I stayed very involved in the schools, and I can see the changes that have happened over the years.
Are you... still involved with Rand High School?
Well, our youngest son just graduated last June. So up until last June, I was involved. I was even on a parents advisory committee over there.
Would you consider the Rand High School, which exists now, is the same Rand that you went to?
Oh, no way. And it's changing every year. The student body is changing, the faculty is changing, of course the whole idea of public education is changing.
How do you feel about this? I mean, when you look back at your high school and see how it is today, how do you feel?
I think public education has to change for the majority. You have to program for the majority of students. I do feel badly that in some ways the children aren't getting the basics in education that we did. They also, one good thing is that they're being given an opportunity to express themselves more than we were. I mean, we just didn't. I mean, we sat there and my goodness, if you talk back to a teacher or you got into a problem with the teacher, that was it,
In your experience, did anybody ever talk back to a teacher when you were
No. Oh, yes, there were some that they were sent to the OSH, you know, and it was a terrible thing if anybody did that. I had an experience at RAN where I had a teacher who had a grudge against me, and here I was a good, very good student, and it was a math teacher, and she had had a cousin of mine who was not very studious, and somehow or other she associated me with this cousin, and I did little things like, oh, I would kick my leg, you know, and she'd be standing at the board with her back to the class, and I had front row seat, and she'd say, Carolyn, you know, and she would accuse me. I was the most innocent, sensitive child, you know. And this had a traumatic effect when she would come and accuse me of cheating. I mean, it got so bad that my mother had to go up to school, and that grade was removed from my record because there was just no way that I could communicate with this teacher.
What grade did she give you?
She gave me a D, and I'd never had a D. I was an A and B student.
Well, who did your mother talk to?
Mr. Tier.
Did he talk to the teacher at all, or you just removed the grade without even consulting her?
I don't know how it proceeded, but the grade was removed. I didn't need it for graduation. It was an advanced math class.
How did you generally do in math?
Very well. Math is one of my aptitudes.
Did this teacher continue on for a long period?
Oh, yes. She was a fixture at RAN. She was elderly when I was there, and I don't know how much longer she taught. And some of the students she gave a marvelous background to. I mean, she was a good teacher. But she had these situations where if she classified you in a certain way, there was no way that you could get her to change her opinion of you.
Did some of your friends get along fairly well with her?
Oh, yes. I mean, there were other students. There were some of them in the class that were her little pets. I mean, there were loads of teachers' pets in those days.
For example, and, say, your sorority, did they get along with her?
Oh, I wouldn't even... I'm sure that they did. She just happened to have a thing about me.
When you were going to school, were you aware of the fact that there is an article in the Charter of the RAN School which says Jewish teachers, or there would be no such thing as a Jewish teacher at the RAN School?
No.
That would be prohibited because of that?
No. I was not aware of that.
If you were aware of it at the time, what would have been your reaction then?
Well, it's very hard to differentiate what my reaction would have been. Well, then I guess I would have said, well, I'm okay, you know.
What would be your reaction now?
Well, what an unfair stipulation to judge someone's teaching ability because of their religion.
Well, did you find that the fact that you were Jewish hindered you at all?
In my relationship with
the... With the teacher or the administration?
No. None whatsoever, because of course there was a large Jewish population on this side of town, and very prominent families, Jewish families, were sending their children to RAN, and there was never any problem as far as that went.
Do you think if the Jewish community would have been aware of this stipulation, which they would have taken action then?
No, I think Jewish community had many other problems at that time with the displaced persons from Germany that I don't think that would have been one of their major thrusts at that point.
Any other things you want to say about the school that you would want on record or on the table?
Oh, I'm sure everyone's told you about the ramp and the selling ramp tickets, you know.
No.
Oh! Well, you know, they have a ramp instead of stairway from, I think, second to third floor. Of course, at RAN, I went home for lunch, and because I just lived a short distance, and until the bell rang, we would congregate in the mornings, at lunchtime, by the ramp. I mean, this, I had, as a neophyte in sorority, I had to be at the ramp to see my superiors, you know. I had to be there early to give them candy and gum. Everybody, I mean, it was just so jammed by the ramp. And, of course, you know, one of the traditions was that incoming freshmen, you know, were told by upperclassmen that you couldn't get near the ramp. You couldn't use the ramp unless you bought a ticket. And, you know, they would sell tickets. They would try to sell tickets to, I never saw anybody do this, but it was a kind of a traditional thing that freshmen should had to buy tickets for the elevator and the swimming pool, which was non-existent. And, you know, when you talk about spirit, there was something about RAM that we all were excited to be participating in.
What year was it that you joined your sorority?
I joined sorority, I guess when I went there in January.
Did most girls join their first year there?
Yes. Oh, yes, because it was your whole social life. I mean, you were anxious to get in because they had each of the sororities and fraternities had affairs, and, you know, this was a big social event.
Now, you talk a couple more things on the sorority. You talk about how there was various sororities supported each other. What about what you call independents? Did they attend any functions of that type?
Yes. It was our social life. We had ad books, and everybody would buy ads, you know, and one-liners, you know, your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, and then they'd go to these affairs. There was a traditional Thanksgiving dance. There was a traditional Christmas dance.
This, was, of course, was in the Rand Record that you bought the ads.
No, no, because as far as the state of Ohio was concerned, sororities and fraternities were non-existent. I don't think you'll see an ad in here, but our dance book ads, we had dance books, and we sold ads in those to businessmen and to the students, and then we'd sell tickets to our affairs.
That's another unique thing. Anything else you'd like to say? Or do you feel that you said everything you want to say?
Well, the traditional, I'm sure everybody's told you about the traditional Rand South game. I can remember going to that as a little girl. I mean, you know, that was Thanksgiving, and there wasn't anything else you would do. You'd go to that.
Do you recall your graduation day?
I remember sitting up there. Yes, in the front row because I was on the honor roll. I don't remember the speaker. I remember the weekend. I remember some things about the parties, and we went to kids' houses in Briar Hill. There were a lot of parties there, and baccalaureate. I remember certain things about walking out of the church after, I don't think it was at the Trinity Church downtown. Is that that church by the cross from the post office?
Yeah.
It was an exciting time.
You mentioned going to Briar Hill party. Were there girls in your sorority that lived in Briar Hill?
No, only because probably there were no Jews, but there were. They were a very. It was predominantly Italian. And they were participating with those of us who lived up around here, and we were very friendly.
Is that, would you say, the first time that you ever intermixed with the Briar Hill group?
Oh, no, because when I went to, from Harding to Hayes, not only was I with blacks for the first time, but I was with, you know, a lot of the kids from Briar Hill, and they were great. I mean, we got along great. You know, there was never any problem. There was always a problem at Hayes because you first of all, the age. I think Hayes, you know, the junior high age group creates a lot of problems. The kids are very selfish at that age, and they're trying to find their own identity. And then you take this mixture of people and put them in a junior high situation. I had some experiences at Hayes, but then part of it, I think, was due just to the age group.
How would you compare the discipline at Hayes with the discipline at Rand?
I think that Hayes, at Hayes, they had a larger problem, and they have spent more time disciplining.
Would you attribute this to the age group also?
The age group and the mixture, because the mixture of people that you got over there, people who were frightened, had never been with each other, you know. We came from our little secure Harding situation and went over to Hayes. I think some of this is blown out of proportion. I mean, I had a knife drawn on me in the locker room by a black girl, and I became very friendly with her later on. The teacher came in and stopped the situation. I don't know if the girl was ever disciplined or not, but I had good friends of mine who would write me poison pen letters. You know, I mean, it was the age, you know. Never upset much.
But this is mostly cleared up once you reach high school.
Oh, yes, there was none of that in high school. It was just one big happy group.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Cole. Let's talk about Bonita Drugstore.
Bonita Drugstore, of course, was at the corner of Bonita and Elm Street. I believe it's still in existence. Everybody used to go down to the drugs. You went down there after school, and we did a lot of fraternity and sorority hazing and by there. You were required to spend, as a neophyte or pledge, you know, a certain amount of time there. And you just absolutely couldn't get near that place. They used to serve Sundays and everything, and it was a big deal. They had booths, and you could eat there. And after football games or after school, and just everybody went to the drugstore.
You still ever stop down there?
Oh, I did for a while, you know, because it was convenient, you know, when I was living on the north side of. But that became such a tremendous problem. They couldn't control the crowd, and I don't know how soon after I graduated they stopped letting them go down to the drugstore. It really became rowdy, uncontrollable. Boys used to shoot crap, I think, on the side there.
But was it the school itself that stopped? Going
no,
down.
I think the owner of the drugstore. Well, you can imagine, this was a little store, and how could they possibly handle that?
Were they ever destructive of his property?
No, I think that after a football game, when the crowd would be joining, they just let so many in at a time. But it was definitely a meeting place.
It was the main meeting
place. It was the main meeting place.